Hi and welcome to Improve Your Voice. My name is Darren McStay and today I'm going to go through different types of voiceover work. For anyone out there that's interested in maybe getting into this line of work, there's a few things that you might want to be aware of just to help you decide maybe which direction to go and or what your options may be. So let's think about it. Where do you hear voices? Where are voices used? Well, we all know that, you know, TV commercials, radio commercials use voices and they use voice actors to speak certain things. And we also know that animations and cartoons and lots of stuff that we see on TV and the cinema use voices in different ways. But then also there's audiobooks, novels that have been read. There's also children's storybooks. There's YouTube channels full of, you know, pictures and children's stories where people have just voiced over. But there's also, think about when you're on the train or on a bus and you hear an automated voice like, please move along the line, or the next stop is Worthing, you know, these kind of things. But there's also, like, on the back of a van you'd hear, this vehicle is reversing, beep, 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 this vehicle is reversing, beep, beep. So anywhere where you hear a human voice that's been it's been recorded by a human, someone has done that job. So there's a lot more scope to it than you might actually think. There might be a lot more areas that you can consider when, you know, approaching creating a voice reel and approaching, you know, agencies or, you know, people for your companies to get work. And also, that's one I forgot, is teleprompts. You know, when you phone a company up and you get put onto the answer phone and there's a voice there telling you, if you would like to speak to customer service, press 1. If you would like to go to the main store, press 2. That's another voiceover job, and that's something that can, you know, be quite, pay quite well, because every company, how many companies in the world are there? And how many English speaking companies? It doesn't matter, whatever language you are, there's going to be a company that will use those teleprompts. So it's just another area you can consider. When I was living back in London, I was working with a lot of actors on their voiceover reels. And we tended to cover three main areas. And the reason we covered these three main areas first was because these are the most popular, the most lucrative, and the most likely for you to get work in, so it's best to have a good demo reel in these styles. Then there's also kind of character voices and whatnot, but that's so much rarer that you'll get the opportunity to work with those, that it's really worth focusing first on doing what you do best, which is you, and getting your voice right. So the three key areas that you will get that work is, one, in commercials. Commercials are what pay voiceover artists the majority of their money. Commercials pay a huge amount of money because if a company or a brand wants to use your voice for something, they don't want to see your voice anywhere else. So what they tend to do is they pay you for the time it takes you to record, which will be a healthy amount of money anyway, because they're also paying for your experience and for your own, you know, charisma and your ideas and your input. But then they'll pay you what's called a buyout, which means that they'll buy the use of your voice for these types of services or products for a select period of time. Okay, so let's say, for example, that a company, a famous phone brand, wanted to use my voice for 3 years worldwide. Then they'd have to pay me for the 3 years so I don't work for another phone company in that time. You see, because there's certain types of voices that are very popular for certain brands at certain times, and if one phone company wanted to use my voice exclusively, they'd have to pay me a whopping sum of money, often a percentage of what their marketing budget is, in order for me to not go and use my voice elsewhere because it's going to work for their product. And so commercials can be huge money makers. If I got, you know, generally I'd get about 500 euros to 1,000 euros per hour just for turning up and speaking. And I won't do anything less than that. I won't turn up for half an hour because I'm not going to split it in half. An hour, if it takes me 10 minutes to do the job, I don't care. It's an hour you're paying me for. And that hour is minimum of like 500 euros. So I turn up and do that, and that's just the fee. Then, if it was a commercial, you'd get paid according to a percentage of their marketing budget. So here's generally how it works. It works in different ways in different countries. So you might have to check, you know, your own kind of local union or agencies in your local area and find out, you know, better the information in your local area. Because I am in Finland and it works a bit different in England to here, so it doesn't work everywhere. But generally, the general rule is that if a company is paying $100,000 for marketing, then there's going to be a percentage of that that's going to go to you. That's one way of doing it. Another way would be that the money that they pay you initially for your fee, they'll add on a percentage to that to keep you sweet so you don't go and work for someone else. And then there'll be a contract involved where you'd have to make sure that you don't cross over those boundaries. Otherwise, you could be liable and have to pay them some compensation. So you've got to be careful there too. But what I'm saying is, the point is, if I do a job for 500 euros, I might even get another 15, 20,000 euros on top of that, depending on the size of the budget. It could even be more. Most likely be less, but you know, somewhere between 5,000 and 50,000 is absolutely possible for a 500 pound dollar euro gig. Think about it. Yeah, commercials. And what are commercials going to use? They're going to use your voice exclusively, so it's worth getting your voice to sound the best it can be. Anyway, we're talking about other types. The second type of work that you might get is narration. And generally, when I say narration, I'm basically talking about reading books. You're narrating, you're telling the story from, you know, so audiobooks, I would say, is narration. And anything you hear that's just read, you know, from a book or from a page, you're narrating the story, you're just telling it. And this is work that can pay well because it will give you a few days worth of work. It won't pay as much as commercials. In fact, it pays less, but because the extended amount of time you'd be working on a narration would be longer, you might get more hours. So that's, you know, it's worth considering. It can be tedious. It can be very hard work. It can be difficult. You could be in a studio where you're a bit uncomfortable. It might be hot. It might be cold. And you've got to keep yourself going for like between 4 hours and 4 days, or maybe even 4 weeks. It depends on what the job is. But narration can be, it's like a marathon. Narration is, it's something that you've got to be very consistent with, and something where if you're not really ready to be reading off the page, then maybe it's not a job for you, because it's very difficult to keep reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading aloud without tripping up all the time. And if you're tripping up all the time, then, you know, a short novel is going to take a long time to record, and they want people who can just do it and lift the words off the page. And how you're going to get to do that is just by practicing. You need to take a book every day and read it from it for as long as you can, because you need the practice. With narration work, you want to be able to turn up, pick a book up, read from it with expression without over coloring it, and just make sure that there's no odd things going on, and you keep it simple and consistent. Simple as that. I say simple as that, but it is actually quite hard work, and it's not necessarily the hardest thing to get into, but then I think sound engineers and directors are very keen on people who've done it before, because they know what a slog it is, and it is quite a marathon. It is quite difficult to do. So without the practice, I mean, you don't necessarily need to put yourself up for that. But if it's something, if you want to cover all bases and want to get into it, then I just recommend you practice reading from books, reading out loud, recording yourself, listening back, and getting a good idea about how things should be said. Listen to other narrations, you know, audio books and voiceovers and children's stories. That it's gonna help. It's gonna help. Anyway, but the third one is documentary. Now, this is a bit like narration, because in a sense you are telling a story, but there's a different, it's kind of slightly different, because you're describing something that's visual. Often with This is like more voice over, because you are like nature documentaries, for example. You're telling a part of a story, and then the visuals do the rest. Then you're telling another part of the story, and there's visuals. And sometimes the story goes over the visuals. So it's not like a narration where you're just reading. And it's not like a commercial that needs to be higher energy, and it's short and punchy, and everything has to stand out. But with documentary, it's almost like you've got to really practice your pauses, right? Because you often leave a sentence halfway up in the air so the visuals can take place, and then carry on as if you haven't paused at all to finish the thought and to finish the momentum of the sentence you were speaking. So it's another very different kind of technique, and sometimes you might have to watch the screen so you can time your words accordingly, and so that might mean that you shouldn't be looking at the page so much. Sometimes, you know, they have a screen with those things on there, but the point is that it's another art. So it's something you should listen to quite a lot. It's good to watch lots of, nature documentaries. You could watch any documentaries, really. But documentary is, they often use voices to help tell the story, to fill in the gaps of what is not being spoken. And so it's quite an interesting area of work. I think documentary for me is hugely kind of, it's something I'd really like to get into more. I've done a couple of small things, but not a huge amount of that. And I would do more of that myself. But again, people use voices that are warm and trusted and natural and are able to tell stories and fill in gaps and entice a listener just by speaking. Audiobooks, consistency, commercials is energy, and documentary is enticement. Right, so I don't even know if that's been a helpful video or not. Maybe it has, maybe I've opened some doors for you. But what I would say about these three types, these three main types of voiceover, of course there's many, but it's really good if you want to get into the voiceover world is to pick one type and focus in on it and try and get really good at that one thing before you move on to another thing. That way you're going to have a niche, and that way you're going to get really good at something and not just a little bit alright at lots of things, because there's too many people that are a little bit alright at lots of things and none of them are getting any work. The people that do documentary work generally get more documentary work. Those that do narration generally tend to do more narration. And those that do commercials have really got a kind of feeling for how to do commercials. So with all of it, you need daily consistent practice. You need to work on yourself. You need to work on your voice. And you need to just listen to how it's done by the other professionals. Hopefully this has been useful. Thank you for watching. I'm Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, look after your voice.